Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community. Welcome to Making Our Way Forward podcast, where we tell the stories of everyday entrepreneurs, leaders, and others in the community that are making a difference here in the United States and around the world. I'm very happy to welcome to the program today David Zezada, who works for Intuit. He's their vice president of education, and he has a lot of interesting things to share with us today. So, David, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and being a part of this amazing podcast. And I just have to say, I love the diverse messages that it delivers and the inspiring stories that that you tell about entrepreneurs through the podcast.
Well, thank you. A lot of the work that you do in corporate social responsibility and some of sort of the creativity of your team has really helped us to propel forward during the pandemic. And so I just want to begin by expressing my gratitude to you and your amazing team for kind of co-creating with us. And, you know, as we start our conversations with people, I'm always curious to find out what in your life, either a mentor or an experience or a combination of that really got you into the work that you're doing today.
Yeah, so as I think back, I think I'd probably focus in particular on mentorship. And you know, as I think about mentors who have had the biggest impact on me, probably the biggest is someone by the name of Brad Smith. And Brad began mentoring me when he was CEO of Intuit, and I was actually with another company. And as a mentor, Brad not only influenced what I work on now, but also how I do it. You know, Intuit's CR strategy includes helping students be better prepared for jobs with a focus on students and underrepresented communities. And we also focus on having a positive impact on climate, which as a company that's already climate neutral, we do by helping customers, communities, and employees we serve lower their carbon footprint. I have an amazing team that executes on our strategy to ensure we maximize our impact. And so in my role as a leader of corporate responsibility to Intuit, what I'm accountable for is achieving our goals. And Brad's mentorship has taught me a few lessons about the role of a leader that I think about every day. And some of those include, first, initially, the focus of a leader's energy is in service to others. Second, a leader's primary responsibility is to prioritize. So to simply simplify, stack rank, get the noise out of the system so the team can focus on the critical few priorities that have the biggest impact. And third, to build a culture of experimentation where you treat success and failure the same as an opportunity to learn. And finally, to create an environment that recognizes that the greatness in all of us can be achieved by having an opportunity where that greatness can shine. And so the way I approach the how I do this has also been heavily influenced by Brad. He's actually taught me to ask questions, to listen, and to coach. Because leaders don't lead with the answers they give, they lead with the questions they ask. And Brad calls this leadership through inquiry. And then he also emphasizes that a leader must listen because God gave you two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that proportion, which is actually a lesson Brad's mom taught him. And the last lesson was that a leader sees their role as a coach and not a judge. So I've been extremely fortunate to have had such an incredible mentor over the years. And you know, early on, I have to say, I was amazed at how generous Brad was with his time. So once I asked him why he was willing to help me, and when he answered, he actually quoted a line from one of my favorite Tim McGraw songs. And that line is, when you get where you're going, don't forget to turn back around, help the next one in line, always stay humble and kind. And his only ask of me over the years as he's mentored me was to follow his lead and always be willing to pay it forward. And so as a result, I've never turned down a request to help or mentor someone ever since.
Wow, that is beautiful. And I'm, you know, full disclosure, I'm a Tim McGraw fan as well. And I love that song. And, you know, when you think about really kind of singing your song and music and people that have been instrumental in our lives, you know, that really is a challenge, you know, to pay it forward. And you and I had discussed a little bit earlier in a different conversation about my personal connection to Intuit and one of the products that you have, which is QuickBooks. And, you know, years ago, you know, I've been with NACI about 7 years, but the 6 years prior to that, I worked as a vice president for a college. So a lot of my work was in foundations. And I remember we were trying to restart our foundation and we had lean resources, and the accountant came up to me and said, you know, there's this great product, QuickBooks, and it's, you know, they offer it actually to nonprofits for free. And I was like, what? You know, that doesn't sound right. How could that work? And so anyway, we signed up for it, and it's sort of that journey of financial literacy. You know, my background is in higher education. I spent some time working in public television and radio and development work. And it really wasn't that immersion into financial literacy, but the journey that I've had the last 7 years, along with you and your colleagues, thanks to Brad Smith for his wonderful mentorship, I realized the importance of being financially literate and being proactive and understanding those things. And Dave, I would love for you to talk a little bit more about QuickBooks, because they're, you know, we have 440 cities around the country. So I'm sure there are nonprofit executives that are listening. Tell us what QuickBooks, you know, generally is. How have you decided to really make that available in the community to help people like myself?
Sure. Well, most people are familiar with QuickBooks because it's the leading tool used by small businesses to manage their finances. But actually, Intuit has a number of other products as well. So, you know, and all the work that we do starts with our mission to power prosperity around the world. And prosperity means something different for each person, but finances often sits at the core of living the life that you want. So today, though, many people struggle with debt and too many small businesses fail. And in communities all across the world, people worry about their financial challenges and what it means for them, their families, and the people that depend on them. So whatever prosperity means to you, Intuit wants to help make managing your money as easy and simple as possible. We believe that everyone should have access to the expertise, tools, and resources they need to take control of their lives and pursue their dreams. So across our platform, we put the power of technology and data on the side of our customers. Our products ultimately deliver solutions across a full range of our customers' financial lives. And we're proud that millions of people around the world turned into it and, you know, ultimately want to make the most of their money. So the portfolio products includes personal finance products such as TurboTax, which takes the complexity out of the tax code, helping people get the maximum refund they deserve. We also have Mint, which is a free personal finance app that helps users get a holistic view of their financial picture and make smart money decisions. We've got Credit Karma, which is a data platform that helps people find the right financial products, put more money in their pockets. We have QuickBooks, as we mentioned, which helps small businesses manage their books, get paid fast, manage their money, and pay employees with confidence. And the latest addition to our portfolio is MailChimp, which helps small and mid-sized businesses with one of the top challenges they face, which is reaching and retaining customers. So we deliver on our mission by working hard to try and solve the most important financial challenges for the 100 million plus customers we serve around the world. And the portfolio of solutions I just mentioned help us do that.
Yeah, that is quite a footprint and quite an impact. And it just reminds me of that saying, you know, doing well by doing good. And I think there's a lot that's there. And I know one of the things that Intuit and through your leadership and your team have done is work directly with community college faculty. We've seen a growth over time of a number of different programs. And I know the work that NACI does, we impact over 3.3 million students, but we don't actually touch the students directly. We work to try to provide partnerships and resources to faculty and presidents and administrators. But I would love it if you could share a little bit about some of the work that you're doing with the faculty, you know, as part of Intuit, and kind of what you see as the impact of that being.
Sure. Well, you know, when we first built our job readiness strategy, we actually started by identifying problems being faced by students and faculty that we felt, based on our products and our methodologies, we had the ability to try and help solve. So we ultimately decided that we try to help students become job ready through the development of finance and entrepreneurship skills, and then also to help educators become more confident in teaching, evaluating these skills, because data that we had seen indicated that there was low confidence in being able to teach, these types of skills. So in order to accelerate and maximize impact, we decided to partner with like-minded organizations that were leaders in the area. NACI, of course, one of the most strategic partners, as you're a leader in driving and supporting the growth of entrepreneurship education. So, and together we've developed the Financial Management for Entrepreneurs course, which is designed to address the number one reason new businesses fail, which is lack of financial management skills. And then we've also, of course, partnered together on teaching design thinking as a critical skill for aspiring entrepreneurs. And, for those not familiar with design thinking, it's a proven methodology developed by some of the most brilliant innovators in the world. And in Silicon Valley, where Intuit's based, it's a best practice. It's used to create some of the most successful innovations and most valuable companies of our time. And, design thinking is a discovery-driven approach to problem solving that requires running rapid experiments, embracing the mindset of failing fast, and quickly pivoting if there's something that isn't working so you can succeed later. So it's ultimately about doing versus debating. Design thinking requires critical thinking, collaboration, communication, leadership, adaptability, grit. In other words, it requires and builds these durable skills that students see that are key to having an entrepreneurial mindset. So, Intuit and ACE have partnered together in our shared goal of advancing entrepreneurship education. And we've had so many students and educators and administrators use the tools that we've co-created, and their success stories have really been inspiring.
Yeah, I think about that, Dave, too. Not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, we were together with you in a hybrid format in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you were kind enough to be one of our kickoff speakers. We had people like Senator Klobuchar, our Secretary of State, Elaine Marshall, our state representatives and leaders from all over the nation. We had 41 states represented in that. And I was really excited about the presentation that you and Dr. Andy Gold did together, because what you decided to do as leaders is you wanted to shine a light on one of those student entrepreneurs, a woman by the name of Devotra Hill, who goes by Violet professionally. And it was amazing just to try to describe it to those who are listening to this podcast. She was a business owner that created a business called Two Left Feet. So she's a non-traditional entrepreneur. She's from Arizona. She and her son flew out there. And you were participating at that time, Dave, virtually, but the energy in the room where she took her talent, which happened to be dancing in a variety of ways, she got the entire audience on their feet, including Dr. Andy Gold. And I think about the work that you've done, as you've spoken a lot about your corporate social responsibility and the design thinking, which is, the design for delight, sort of methodology that you all have come up with. I don't think people like Violet would be at the place, the accelerated pace of small businesses, had it not been for this deep work with faculty. So I want to thank you for that. I also want to tell everybody who is listening that we have these recordings on the NACI website now. So some of those things are being made public. Just little fun announcement. This week, we actually were invited to testify before the U.S. Congress Small Business House Committee. So we're going to be talking about some of these things and some of these emerging things. But it really goes to the fact that we could not do this work alone. The work that you do, the work that NACI does, the work that the educators do. And I was thrilled to hear that Brad Smith is now in that leadership role at Marshall, leading that. It just shows you we're all connected through the ecosystem. Dave, let's talk a bit about COVID. I mean, obviously, it's disrupted our lives tremendously, but it's had some specific impact in the area of education. And I know I've heard you talk about that before. Maybe share from your perspective, you know, what you see some of the impact of COVID has had in education.
Yeah, you know, I think that although COVID will obviously be remembered for the pain and the disruption it's caused so many, it'll also be remembered for the incredible stories of those who had the skills to adapt and pivot, both in education actually and in business. You know, because the pace of change today was already expected to be 10 times faster than it was just 5 years ago due to shifts in technology, such as the emergence of the cloud, machine learning, artificial intelligence. However, due to COVID, educators and entrepreneurs were each faced with just incredible challenges and the need to change at a pace never before seen. But remember, the strongest steel is forged from in the hottest fires. There are amazing local and national stories of success from those who had the skills to adapt and to pivot and either improve on an existing model or create a new one. So it's become clear that to be successful, regardless of chosen career paths, students must have these skills to adapt and to pivot. And while many businesses were hurt by the pandemic, there's also been a 24% increase in the number of business startups. So this is really a reflection of the need and the opportunity to adapt, pivot, and innovate when challenged. So students living through COVID have been to develop some of these critical, durable skills that are necessary for succeeding in the 21st century, including adaptability and resilience. And, you know, to quote Charles Darwin, it's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It's the one most adaptable to change. With COVID, students have been living through the greatest application of adaptability in the last 100 years. Resilience, or simply stated grit, is the combination of passion and perseverance of your goal. And, you know, I think Winston Churchill was right when he famously stated that the definition of success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. And success requires grit. And given what students have lived through the past 2 years, they have developed unparalleled levels of grit.
Yeah, that is so powerful what you said. There was a lot in there. And I think, you know, entrepreneurial mindset, you know, growth mindset, you spoke about grit and Angela Duckworth and her work. And really that aligns, I think, with what we talked about before as well. You know, we mentioned your corporate social responsibility, but some of the people that are listening may not really understand what that means. And so maybe you could share with us a little bit about what is corporate social responsibility and how, you know, how does that manifest itself at Intuit?
Sure. Well, at a high level, corporate social responsibility is about companies being responsible and giving back to society. Corporate social responsibility initiatives are typically mission-driven and focused on delivering either economic, social, or environmental benefits. And I believe, personally, having a strong corporate responsibility strategy is important as multiple key stakeholders care whether an organization is purpose-driven. And so some of those stakeholders include like investors, current employees, prospective employees, consumers. You know, these stakeholders want to know whether an organization's priorities align with their own, and their actions typically reflect whether that's the case. And at Intuit, we have a number of corporate responsibility initiatives in a number of areas, including corporate philanthropy, environmental sustainability, diversity, equity, inclusion, and community volunteerism. And, you know, in addition to our initiatives, Intuit strives to be recognized as a corporate responsibility leader by inspiring and helping and learning from other organizations committed to corporate responsibility. We also strive to embed our corporate responsibility strategy into the core of our business strategy. And then by setting and communicating clear goals and holding ourselves accountable to achieving them.
Yeah, it reminds me hearing you talk about, you know, what you measure matters. And I know you all do a lot, and you know, entrepreneurship can be very difficult to measure, but you know, you're in so many different areas. You mentioned climate change and volunteerism and other things. And I think it must make your shareholders and your team and everyone feel good about the impact that you're making, and particularly during the pandemic, because I think you mentioned that a moment ago. It's challenged everyone, but the work that we do together, the work that NACI tries to put forward, is really looking at challenges, opportunity in ways that we can never have imagined. And we've had some conversations with that over time. But one of the things that I've noticed about your team, and I see it in our NACI team too, is that sense of resiliency and the willingness to kind of lean in when we don't exactly know what we're doing, but we're trying to be helpful and we're trying to co-create. And I was thinking it would be a wonderful way to share with our audience maybe some ways that you've made your way forward through the pandemic, some of the things that you've done internally to make sure that your team is cared for and that you all continue to do the excellent work that you're doing.
Yeah, you know, as I think about kind of how the pandemic has ultimately impacted me and those that I serve, you know, I kind of think about it both personally and professionally. And when I think about kind of how I made my way through it, you know, personally, you know, first I've really tried to take advantage of not having to spend so much time on the road traveling, by safely spending more time with kind of family and close friends, you know, as well as kind of reconnecting with some friends that I lost track of. And I also spent a lot of time focusing on my health, which included, you know, picking up the game of golf, which at times I don't know how healthy that gets so frustrated, but at any rate, you know, it allowed me to do something safe with friends on a regular basis, but also spent a lot of time working out more on a regular basis. And, you know, finally, I think that I've learned, you know, over the course of the last 2 years now, to have a much stronger work-life balance, which I believe has made me actually better at both. But professionally, I've really tried to do my best to help my team navigate, you know, such a dramatic shift in how we work and support those that we serve. And, you know, I've also learned to try and really take time in each of my one-on-ones in particular that I have, to really just check in and ask how they're doing personally before moving on and discussing kind of the business projects and really just to try to understand where I could be supportive if, you know, if they are struggling, whether it's personally or professionally. And so, you know, some of the ways that, you know, I've tried to at least do that is supporting tools, that we now use on a regular basis, you know, to collaborate virtually, like Mural, trying to take advantage of having to use video conference tools like Zoom to actually be more of an inclusive leader. Trying to role model the need to, you know, get away from our computers and get out and do walking meetings as well as take advantage of opportunities to just take time off and recharge. So those are some of the things that I've been doing and have learned, you know, through the pandemic.
Yeah, I think those are good examples for all of us. You know, you can't be there for other people if you're not doing a good job taking care of yourself. And I had the same experience with travel, you know, trying to sort of be everywhere all the time and chasing after every opportunity. And it's interesting to hear your reflections of, you know, doing things that you enjoy and encouraging others to do the same, because I think, you know, in the end, you know, what I'm hopeful about and talking to so many people through this podcast is that we don't return to the way it was, but we have sort of this new normal where there is this life balance. We can have deeper conversations. And funny enough, what you were talking about, design thinking is really rooted in empathy, you know, for not only for customers, but for each other as human beings. And that's what we have experienced, getting to know, you know, Intuit and the wonderful things that you've put together, but also your willingness and your generosity in sharing those. So I want to thank you so much, David, for sharing your story. I know you and I have had some adventures in the past, going down to Tampa, and I've had a chance to hear you speak as a keynote at the Susie Steiner Breakfast. And continue to be inspired by your willingness to sort of go boldly into the future when we don't really know what the next, challenge will be, but knowing that if we partner together and as if we lean in and continue to use good tools and resources, that we'll all be able to make our way forward together more successfully and more joyfully. So I wish you a very happy day, and thank you to you and your colleagues, and thanks to our listeners around the world for joining us for this special podcast.
Well, thanks, Becky. Appreciate you having me, and thanks for all that you and your amazing team does every day.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at nacy.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard about our latest book, Impact Ed, How Community College Entrepreneurship Creates Equity and Prosperity? This is our roadmap for building back better in 50 states and globally. In each chapter, we share the inspiring stories of everyday entrepreneurs and explain how community colleges play a crucial role in their success. Visit us at nacy.com/impacted to order your copy now and join us in this work.
Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.nacyplaybook.com.